When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
We damn good.
Hurts keeps fighting for the end zone. What a run! Touchdown, Philadelphia!
It's all about growing and continuing that climb, so let's find out what type of team we are.
This is going to be a dangerous, tough team to play.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Harry Douglas in for J today, ESPN Radio. We're on ESPN. We are on the app. If you can't be, you know, in the shower with the radio or in the car, wherever you are, it's okay. If you have a phone in your pocket, you have access to us live. Go to the ESPN app, click on more on the lower right-hand corner of the app, scroll down and listen live, and we are in your ears. You can join the conversation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. We were discussing it earlier. Is Russell Wilson a Hall of Famer? Or, if this continues, could he potentially play his way out of the Hall of Fame? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Good morning, Key. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning.
What's up? What's up? What's up, Max Kellerman, sir?
I came in this morning, Key, and Harry had a pep in his step after that Braves game last night. I mean, he was like dancing around the hallways.
I was excited,
yeah, they
man.
They won and won. They tied up. Let's move on. Other stuff in the world of sports is going on this week.
Yeah, you're right, Key. Like the Dodgers losing to the Padres.
Yeah, we didn't say we was bringing out the. We never said we're bringing out the broom.
It's okay,
I
Key.
I mean, you know, they beat us.
The day that the Dodgers lose, the next day that I need you right in this seat beside me, you're not here.
They had to get the lawyers to come out and get Key.
They
had to send Key threatening letters this morning to get him out of bed. You're contractually obligated to be there. Key was trying to duck out of this show after the Dodgers lost.
No, I am hanging out in Chicago at Chicago 1000 ESPN, just chilling around the city a little bit, going to Chicago Bears, Washington Commanders game tonight. I know you're saying, why? Why even go? But, you know, just enjoying Chicago right now, doing a little affiliate tour and I'm going to hang out with Cap and Jay Hood a little bit later on. And so it's, you know,
and you know,
just
Key,
enjoying
you
the
talk about
now.
Talk about the Thursday night game, but and it's not a good game on paper, and it'd probably be an ugly game. But I'll tell you what, to be in Chicago at Soldier Field, if the Bears can figure out by hook or by crook a way to win that game, that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
That will be exciting.
You know, and I've only been to a handful of pro games in my life, though. Like, I've only been to a handful, and I probably, to be honest with you, I bet you I've been to, in my entire life, as a professional, post-college, I've probably been to 10 NFL games. Yeah, 10.
You know, because other than the 11 years of games you played in, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, as a fan, as a spectator, in the box, and I'm not sitting in a stand, so that's not going to happen.
You guys hear me down this line.
So this will be fun.
So, yeah, and imagine Chicago, a football-obsessed town, one of the iconic franchises in the history of American team sports, the Bears. Imagine having, like, you didn't really think you're going to win a Super Bowl with Jay Cutler, let's be honest. Like, the Bears fans. Imagine going since 85. 85 Bears means it's synonymous with greatness. The way the 27 Yankees, the 85 Bears, that 72 win Chicago Bulls team, right?
They probably
in Chicago.
Can you guys hear me down this line?
They didn't fire Lovie Smith. That was stupid. But anyway.
Yep. I mean, Lovie Smith's competing with nothing in Houston right now. But the point is, they finally have reason to believe in the future in Justin Fields, right? Maybe we actually have. There's no ceiling here. We can go all the way. But tonight it could start if they get to 3-3 on the year against the team against the Vikings that everyone's saying is the class of the NFC North.
I like Bears fans too, man.
Speaking of the future, Max, there's a game that's going on in Kansas City where the Bills and the Chiefs take on each other. Is Josh Allen the future of the NFL?
So the question is this.
Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, that storyline is huge in the NFL. And everyone's still buzzing about that game from last year. Chiefs Bills. That was like the best game of the playoffs. But is that actually the best game or the biggest game this weekend? Even though Cowboys-Eagles may have more consequence on the division itself, right? Eagles' O-line banged up, guys. Cowboys coming in with that pass rush. That's a bad Styles matchup for the Eagles at this moment, with or without Dak Prescott. What do you think, E?
Yeah, it's a lot going on in the NFC East this week. Obviously, you got this Cowboy matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles. You got the offensive line of the Eagles going up against a stout defensive front of the Dallas Cowboys. Michael Parsons moving all over the place. You got Armstrong coming on strong as a youthful defensive lineman. You got Lawrence coming off the edge. And then when you just look at it on the back end, and Diggs is holding his own. And so the way that I look at it, for Philadelphia to come out of here with a W, they've got to figure out how to slow that pass rush down. And the way that you do that is with the RPO game. Confuse the defensive lineman. Don't let them pin their ears back. Make them think. You also run the screen game, and the Philadelphia Eagles are the leaders in the screen game in the National Football League this year. They like dialing up the screen. So that slows down in the gates, as you know, Harry, the defensive linemen from pinning their ears back. If they can put a game plan together like that, they'll have an opportunity, a chance to beat the fighting rushes.
What do you think, Harry?
When I'm looking at this game, the Cowboys and Eagles, we got to understand, like, if we got to stop forgetting that the Eagles do have a top 10 defense, too. And I don't think enough people are talking about that because we continuously talk about the Cowboys' defense. I want to see if the offensive line of the Cowboys can win a line of scrimmage and get the run game going. Can they protect Cooper Rush? Because we continuously talk about, you know, the Eagles' O-line being banged up and that defensive pass rush led by Michael Parsons. But the flip side of it, when you look at sacks in the National Football League right now, the Eagles are top five.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. It's a great point. Heading into this season, I thought the Eagles were best on both sides of the line of scrimmage. It turns out probably the Cowboys are best on the defensive side of the line of scrimmage. But that doesn't mean that the Eagles aren't excellent there. If you kind of averaged it out, still the Eagles are the best on the line of scrimmage if you average out the offense and defensive side of the ball. And so you're right, Harry. That defensive front against the Cowboys' offensive line is also an issue. I'm just saying if the Eagles were good on the O-line right now. Mailata didn't play last week. Kelsey went down. They were missing three starters. If not for that, I'm taking the Eagles. I feel good about that. I think the Eagles win the game. But because of that, I really don't know. Because of all the problems you don't want, Key, against this Cowboys team, is to be missing pieces up front because they can get after the quarterback.
Every team that the Cowboys have played against this year have missed pieces up front on the interior lines. They certainly can get after them. That's why you want to slow the game down. You want the RPO game because when Jalen Hurts keeps the football and he gets on the perimeter, he's not a quarterback anymore. He is a bona fide running back and could be potentially the best running back in the league if that was the case, outside of maybe Lamar Jackson. So you don't want that, right? So now that freezes you at the point of attack because you got to figure out, okay, who got the ball? Do I crash down or do I not? Now in the screen game, he drops back. You pin your ears back to go get him. All of a sudden, the lineman release you and get upfield. He dumps it to the running back or the wide receiver. Now the pass rush is beyond the quarterback for no apparent reason, and the other guy's going the other way. So it's going to be an interesting game. And on the flip side, with the Cowboys offense, can Cooper Rush, can he all of a sudden become something a little bit extra if they fall behind against the Eagles? Could CeeDee Lamb step up and become the real number 88 in Michael Irvin, Drew Pearson in this type of situation in a game that could potentially get away from them if they don't?
So let me ask the people. Let's ask the good people. Is Chiefs-Bills or is Cowboys-Eagles the biggest game of the weekend? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Now, guys, according to an ESPN news report, Dan Snyder has told associates he's used private investigators and other sources to gather dirt on fellow owners, coaches, and executives, and that he won't lose his franchise without a fight. And if that's true, that's more like a mud fight. You're getting down in the sewer and slinging mud, if that's true. League sources, you know, in my view, by the way, given his stewardship of that team, that is unsurprising. If true, he's denying it. League sources say the NFL is aware that Snyder claimed to be tracking owners. One owner was told by Snyder directly that he, quote, has dirt on Jerry Jones. Don Van Natta was on this program within the last hour, saying that Jerry Jones is seen as the last line of defense for Daniel Snyder, and that would fit nicely with the idea that Dan Snyder has dirt on Jerry Jones. Again, Snyder's denied it. Key, your thoughts?
You know, it's just interesting because Don Van Natta, ESPN senior writer, guys like this don't just write stories unless they believe the stuff that they're getting. And then when you throw in that there's some people in the NFL executive offices that believe that Daniel Snyder is doing certain things to undermine other owners, you start to look at that. And I always go back to it, as I said to him, and I'll say it to you, Harry, as well. I can be naive in situations sometimes because I give people the benefit of the doubt because I want everybody to think like me, what I would do in a situation like this. If I'm Daniel Snyder, I don't need the hassle of having to go and dig up dirt and go through all of this to try to hold on to a team. I've invested in a team. The team is probably worth $9 billion now or whatever the number could be. It's more than what I bought it for. I'm not winning. I can never win. I've been an owner for since 1999. I've only gone to the playoffs a handful of times. I've never been in an NFC championship game. Like, I don't need the stress of dealing with this. I'm going to sell the damn team and be done with it. I'm like, I'm out, man. I'm getting sued for alleged acts over here.
He's
I had to change the name that I fought so hard for over here, Harry. I just don't want to deal with it. I'm going to go get on my 300-foot yacht. And I'm going to just live my life because this type of stress will kill you. Well, I don't understand why you would even put up with this.
That's my mindset as well, though, Key, because there's a million things in this world that you can do if you're Daniel Snyder. But I think Max did bring up a good point. He's been losing in every other place so much to the fact that I don't think he wants to lose in this case. I don't think he wants to lose and say, you know what, I got to give up my team.
But you're going to lose.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, but
I don't think he looks at it like that, though.
He's a diehard. Yeah,
he doesn't see it like that.
Key, in this climate, he was digging in his heels about the name of the team. And the name of the team wasn't Indians. It was something much worse. The name of the team was so offensive, I would not refer to them, and I still won't say the name now. And when I was 8 years old, Key, that's I was 81, 82, 81, I'm watching Washington in the Super Bowl, and I turn to my dad. I'm just figuring out what's going on in football, right? I'm like, hold on, they're allowed to call them that? My dad's like, oh, they shouldn't. So how, if I knew that as a child, you know, 40 years ago, why'd it take Dan Snyder till a couple years, and he was digging in his heels and doubling down on it, right?
It's the history of Dan Snyder,
too. He's stubborn, and he's diehard, right? So, and he doesn't like to be told what
cool.
to do. He doesn't, I'm not saying.
It's cool.
But
Key. Cool, Max.
I'm
just saying a stress level, though.
Right. But this is what I'm saying. So he's built. Everyone's built different.
Yeah.
He is going to eventually have to tell himself, Key, what you're saying, and he's going to rationalize it by saying, "Look, I paid X for the team, and I'm getting so many multiples of X. I'm not really a loser. I'm a winner." Right? He has to tell himself he's a winner.
Yep. He should, and his lawyer should tell him that. His wife should tell him. His kids should tell him. They should just be like, "Look," because eventually. Eventually, he's going to be forced to sell the team. These owners aren't going to sit up there and take his threats. If they're true, take his threats. They're just not going to do it.
Key.
You know that, Max. Key. They're not going to sit up. They do billionaires fighting billionaires.
Yeah.
And there's more billionaires fighting against one billionaire.
Yeah. Key, I can't let this go, Key. How many of them owners right now are sweating bullets because of Daniel Snyder?
He's got dirt. You know why, Keith?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a number of them that are thinking back to you know, 1989, 2000, what did I say, what did I do? Of course, absolutely.
What did I do with Daniel Snyder?
Did we have paper on that, or was that verbal?
Daniel Snyder? Yeah.
I mean, here's the other thing, guys. If you're an owner, to piggyback off what you're saying, Harry, you have to ask yourself, is the person I'm dealing with low down enough to do that? Would he violate every ethical standard?
They probably
would. Would he roll around in the sewer, in the mud and the garbage? Is he the type of person who would do that? And the answer for these owners, if it's true that Daniel Snyder has dirt on them, might be, yup, yes. Daniel Snyder would do that.
I think the Washington organization has been, you know, the names have changed so many times, but I feel like, without even researching it right this second off the top of my head, when I researched everything for my book, I think they've had three or four owners in the history of the franchise. And out of those three to four owners of the history of the franchise, there's been some bad stuff. Just Washington, that team. You go all the way back to Preston Marshall III, you know, back in 1940s and whatnot, he had racial components in that organization dealing with that team. And then when you fast forward to where we are today, or where we've been basically since Daniel Snyder bought the team in 1999, there's been so much hair around this organization. It's just unbelievable. Like, I'm just the type of person, like, I wouldn't even want to buy the team. Like, I wouldn't want to own it. It's just too much. It's
Be associated with it. I
deal with this. Yeah.
You don't.
It's just a lot.
Some people might not even want to be associated with it because of the history that you're bringing up, Key. And you talk about Dan Snyder all the things that we have heard and seen from him with this organization alone. I can understand why a lot of people might not want to buy the Washington franchise, but I will say this. There is people out there that want to own a football team, and they want to own it right now. So they're going to be lined up to buy it.
Oh, no question. But it's 31 other owners, right, or groups, families, whatever you want to call it. And they all go to owner meetings, and they all caucus, and they all do all the right stuff with each other and hang out in West Palm Beach and everything. Just imagine when he goes to one of those deals, or his wife goes to one of those deals, and you got, call it 25 other owners, because I'm not going to say every single owner. I'm going to discount it. I'm going to say 25 other owners, they really don't like your presence.
Yeah.
How does it feel? What does it feel like when you walking down the big old, you know, the hallways, the big wide hallways with the plush carpet, long, and you got to pass up Jerry Jones and his wife and family, or you've got to pass up Mr. Kraft and his wife and family as they're getting ready to go into one of those rooms? I don't want to feel like
hey,
that.
Hey, Key, let me make
it
worse.
It's mind-boggling that Daniel Snyder would want to feel
Let me make it worse for you, okay? If I am walking down the halls and no one likes me, and I'm Robert Kraft, and I got all the Super Bowl rings, and I'm on top, or if I'm one of these owners who's on top right now, maybe I deal with all that. Hey, you know what? Haters, right? But if I am the loser, I'm the loser in court, I'm the loser in public opinion, I'm the loser in the face of history, lose, 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 Daniel Snyder. And even now, a loser on the field, big loser, in a division, the NFC least, where all of a sudden everyone else is good, because the culture on the other teams is healthy, but a fish rots from the head down, and my rotten fish is in the cellar, the worst, getting their butts kicked every single week in the basement. Loser. Then when I walk down the halls and I see everyone doesn't like me, I can't even walk with my chest out and think, hater, they're looking down on them.
But I don't like the fact that when things have went astray and went, you know, out of pocket, if these things are true, that this is the route that he's taking. I do think that's Bush League. If it's true,
Harry.
I think it's Bush League.
That's right.
Like, I don't like that. Like, that's cowardly in my eyes.
But if I ever had the opportunity to own a team, buy a team, whatever the case may be, or be a part of a team in sports, I'm only going to do it the way that the people that are winning does it. I'm only looking at those teams, right? The history of the Pittsburgh Steelers, what Mr. Kraft has done, or even what Jerry Jones has done. Like, winning organizations. Dan Snyder has been a complete failure with the Washington Commanders since he took over as the owner. I mean, they've gone to the playoffs three times, maybe four times. It hasn't been anything exciting about him as an owner. Like, I just wouldn't want to continue to put myself through that misery. Yeah. That's me, though. I guess I just think different. Like I said, Max and Harry, I'm selling the team. I'm going to get about $9 billion for them.
You're going to get multiple billions. And by the way,
I'm going to justify it in my mind and my family's mind. We're going to sit at them big old giant long tables. We're going to have people feed us our food. And we're going to sit back. You know how the rich do it, billionaires. We're going to sit back and we're going to talk about our summer vacation on that shiny new yacht that I just purchased.
Super yacht key.
And I'm
super
yacht. You'll be surrounded by yes men who tell you how great you are, which is part of the process.
Yes,
but, you know,
that's
the power insulates
all
people.
Max, all 5'6" of me. Yes, that is correct.
So, Key, what you just described is what's going to happen, in my view. And Dan Snyder will eventually tell himself, well, I mean, I'm making billions. What kind of – I'm actually a winner. But until he thinks like that, he will fight it. And he will, as he has in the NFL his entire time as an owner, lose.
What they say in the movie? You know what we do to rats?
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance.
Buy me a soccer team or something. I don't know. I can't.
There's a ton of things you can do, man.
Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. So have the Bills and Chiefs separated themselves from the rest of the AFC? Is there a team that can contend with them in that conference?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn,
I know
J.
we
Will
had this
Max.
Conversation.
ESPN,
we had this conversation a little while ago.
What's up, Key?
About Russell Wilson and his receivers.
Yeah.
I just wanted, before we move on, I'm going to make a hard left turn real quick here.
You got the stats.
Guess this, trip this out though, Harry.
Yeah.
So Russell Wilson's receivers, Russell Wilson has had 14 drop passes, most in the NFL this season.
Mm-hmm.
14. And on top of that, his receivers are also having success separating from coverage, averaging an NFL best 4 yards of separation, tops in the NFL. They're getting open. He's throwing it, but they're dropping it.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
No, I'm going to stop you.
So if you add them 14 to it, I'm just saying, if you add them 14 catches, his percentage go up. That's all. I just wanted to say that.
Also, you can add those 14, which I understand the guy's got to catch the football, because that's been one of my things about, you know, Jerry Jeudy. He hasn't lived up to the hype of being a first-round draft pick yet. Courtland Sutton, he has been phenomenal for him. But I will say this. You also got to look at the passes that Russell Wilson isn't completing when these guys are wide open, Key. So I think it's a factor. You got to factor in both of them. The drop passes from the wide receivers.
Go ahead, Max. Take over.
Also the missed throws that Russell Wilson has.
I'm looking at team leaders for drop passes in the NFL. So this is as of – maybe this was last week. Broncos were at 10. Bills, Dolphins, Jets, and Jaguars were at 11. So, like, you know, they've dropped a few more passes than if they're up to 14, and I don't know where everyone else is. But they're in range of a few several other teams. I'll tell you the truth, Key. I would rather be a team that averages more separation more often than anyone else and then also has a few extra drops than a team that doesn't have the separation, to tell you the truth. Because I mean, it means guys are open.
Listen, guys got to catch the football, though.
Yeah, of course. You don't want dropped passes, obviously.
I want the dudes catching. I don't give a damn how much separation they have. In NFL, the windows are small. Your separation ain't going to be that large anyway. Everybody's covered every single down unless somebody blows coverage.
Except for the Broncos.
Just outright just beating people like that.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what that tells me? That tells me that the coaches are scheming it up and that the players are not executing so far. That's what that tells me. But I could be wrong. All right. Patrick Mahomes, guys, is in a very rare spot. This is super interesting to me. Mahomes has started his career with more consecutive games as a home favorite than anyone in the Super Bowl era. Which, by the way, the Super Bowl era, you might as well say history. When we think of the NFL, we're talking about the Super Bowl era, right? So in that entire history of Super Bowl, no one in that era has been the home favorite in as many consecutive weeks. That's 41 weeks. That ends. Unless they bet it differently now, unless the bettors change that by betting heavily on Mahomes, right now he is the home underdog for the first time in his career to Josh Allen and the Bills. We're going to get into that in about 10 minutes. Kevin Byard, Tennessee Titans safety, is with us now, two-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
Good, man. How you spending this bye week, dog? I don't see no water, blue water behind you.
I'm actually about to get on the road, man, with the fam right now. Probably about a couple hours, man, but I had to knock out this interview real quick, man. But, you know, I'm going to take a couple days this weekend, spend some time with the family, you know, recharge and get ready for this long stretch. You know, we got the first bye week of the year, so after that, man, it's time to get on the road.
KB, I want you to take us back, man, to your rookie year, because since you came into the National Football League from Middle Tennessee State, you have been phenomenal. I was able to be there with you. And one of the things that I've seen in a young player that you don't normally see in young guys is that your attention to detail, your willingness to want to learn, right? You know, spending extra time in the meeting rooms. And you was able to have a guy like Logan Ryan there with you to help guide you. How important was Logan to your career, but also coming in with the mindset of balance and that focus?
Yeah, obviously, I definitely remember those first couple of years with you, Harry. Obviously, you was one of the vets in the locker room, one of the guys I looked up to. I think one of the things that I did when I first got in the league, obviously, you want to go out there, make a name for yourself. You want to do everything that you can to earn the respect of your teammates, your coaches, and the organization. But I think one thing that I did, not only did I listen with my ears, but I listened with my eyes. You know, I used to watch guys like you, obviously Logan, Jarrell, Rack, Derek Morgan, and all you guys. And I used to pay attention to the little stuff, like what time you guys came in the morning. Okay, y'all coming in the morning. We got meeting at 8 o'clock. Y'all coming in 6:30, 6:15. Damn, what are y'all doing there this early? What are y'all doing? Y'all got a whole – y'all working out in the mornings. You got your pre-practice routines, all that stuff. So those are the type of things that I watch because – obviously, as a young player, I want to be able to play a long time in this game. So I'm watching the older guys to see, you know, how are they able to do this? What type of body work, what type of stuff are they doing when they leave the building? So those are the things that I've always paid attention to as a young player. And obviously, it's helped me in my career so far.
Do you, Kevin.
Go ahead, Keke.
I was going to say, Kevin, after in week two, the Bills took y'all down to the woodshed 41-7. Hate to bring that up. But since then, you've won three straight games. What has been the biggest thing in the turnaround?
Yeah, I mean, I think just as a team together, you know, we've taken care of the football and we've turned it over. There are a lot of things that we still need to correct. We've been giving up way too many big plays on the back end. That's going to end up biting us, especially when you talk about playing against teams like the Bills. You know, giving up those chunk plays are unacceptable. So we have to stop doing that. But I think just as a defense, man, as a team, we just have no quit in us. At times in the games, we may be down. Obviously, most of our games are going to be in dogfights and one-score games. And nobody's panicking on the sideline saying, like, okay, here we go again. You know, since Mike Vrabel's been here, we found a way to win those ball games. So that's a credit to our team and just the culture that we have. But, you know, as a team and obviously going to this bye week, there's a lot of things that we need to get better at. And I think those are things that we've talked about over the past couple of days. And, you know, when we come back, you know, starting up next week, getting ready for the Colts, those are things we're going to continue to work on.
You spoke about Coach Vrabel. And I love, especially when you looked at this team last year coming into this year, and you guys went in three in a row, the mentality that he has is what Tennessee Titans football is all about. Speak about Coach Vrabel, man, and how he's been able to help you guys offensively, defensively, and special teams, being a guy that actually played the game, won at a high level, and now is coaching for y'all.
Yeah, just like you said, he's won plenty of Super Bowls. So I think when he first came in, it was very easy to buy into the system, buy into what he was saying, buy into what he was coaching, because he's done it before. I mean, especially, you know, being a player to play for a long time, when a guy comes in and he's telling the young player, hey, I did it this way, it worked for me this way, when he can show and prove that, it's very easy to buy in. But then at the same time, he's not a coach that, you know, is going to sit in his office or going to sit back or whatever while all he let all his position coaches do their thing. He does that, but he's going to be in every single position group. I'm talking about during practice, working with the defensive linemen, working with the DBs, working with the O linemen, shoot, even working with the damn specialists. Like, you know, I think just as a coach, being able to, you know, kind of interact and talk to all players on the team. And I think he's just a very player-friendly coach. And obviously we enjoyed having him, and his culture that he's brought here has brought a hard-nosed, you know, blue collar, which we already been. But like you said, for a guy like Brave, I think he's just a great leader of men.
Kevin, thank you for joining us this morning. Tennessee Titans safe two-time All-Pro. I always look at the All-Pro, man. If you're All-Pro, boy, that's something else. Appreciate it, Kevin.
You're a baller, too.
No, thank you, guys, man. You guys have a good one.
So, All-Pro, you're not All-Pro unless you are – I mean, you know, that's different.
Yep.
Key is in Chicago. The Bears and Commanders play tonight. What should we expect from Justin Fields?
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Know what I'm worried about tonight, guys, as a Yankees fan, is the weather right now. I'm feeling good. team seems to be playing well, certainly in game one, and you kind of want to keep that momentum. We've been talking about how teams that have off for too long, sometimes it can bite you. Not that a game delay, you know, a day, but like the weather in New York right now is overcast. It's supposed to rain. I'm a little nervous that we might be dealing with a postponement of the Yankees game tonight.
It's the same thing we had last night with the Braves, too. And I think the Yankees game, it might actually has an opportunity to get canceled and have to be played tomorrow, right?
Yep.
If I'm not
yep.
– see, at least they got to play the Braves one yesterday. I think their game was 3 hours delayed. Mm. But I always hate when that happens, too, though, Max, because now guys are just sitting around. You're trying to figure out what's going to happen. Your pregame routine is messed up. And professional athletes, if a lot of people don't know – a lot of things are done routinely, and you want to continue to stay in that routine. Nestor Cortez, he's going to be on the mound tonight. I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do. Is he going to be able to get Jose Ramirez out on a consistent basis? So I'm looking forward to this series. I actually wanted to go to the game, Max, but when I seen the weather report, I was like, hey, there's no way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, you get caught
but
up
see,
there.
Baseball is different than football. Because when it rains in football, we playing. It ain't yeah. The only time we pausing is if it's lightning. In baseball, if they postpone it to another day, all it is an extra day's rest. It ain't the routines are different. It's just an extra day's rest. And quite frankly, I'm sure some of those guys would prefer an extra day's rest, especially pitchers.
Yeah, and the Yankees bullpen, although it's not like they were overworked in game one, you know, Gerrit Cole did go 6 1/3. And he had a high pitch count early. He pitched out of a jam in the third inning that was, especially after they made they didn't get the guy in the rundown coming down from third base. So there were the bases loaded at that point with one out. He did a good job of that.
Yeah.
I'm actually glad Nestor Cortez is going game two. The more I think about it, I was thinking like we need some help in the bullpen, maybe either he or Severino, and I trust him more. But game two guys in every series ever played is the pivotal game. It's always either knotted up 1-1 or someone's probably going to win the series.
That's all right. We knotted up 1-1. We all right, though.
Well, the Dodgers are the best team, on paper, so they should be good against the Padres. Padres were built to beat you, though, Key. Like, that's why they put that team together.
They beat us. They came back. We had it was 1-1, and it was 2-1. I think it was 3-1. They came back and did their deal. And in the end, they're not going to beat us. We're not worried about it. We never brought out the broom.
He's
we got enough confidence.
Too. Confident?
Yeah, a lot of confidence. If I was worried about it, I'd let you know. If I was the Braves, I would worry about the Phillies.
Blake Snell, Tony Gosselin up next, Key, in that series.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, the road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch all the postseason action presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coverage of Mariners and Astros Game 2 begins 3 p.m. Eastern, followed by Yankees and Guardians Game 2 at 7. Key, meantime, you're in Chicago. The Bears and Commanders play tonight. What do you think we should expect from Justin Fields against a team some are saying is the best in the NFC North? And has he turned a corner, Justin Fields?
The Bears and the Commanders put on a game.
Oh, excuse me.
Because I don't know if they'll be playing.
I kept saying Vikings because we were comparing to the Vikings. They're playing the Commanders, not the Vikings. I made that mistake earlier in the show, too.
They're putting on a game, Max. They're not actually playing, right? They're going to put on a game because I don't know if these two teams can play football. Chicago will be interesting to see if Justin Fields could do some of the same things that he was able to do in the second half a week ago. Can he somehow figure out? And I look, people think that the Commanders have a better football team than the Bears because they may have one or two names, and the Bears only maybe have one name in Justin Fields. You know, Roquan Smith is there. Jalen Johnson is there. If Jalen is playing tonight, I don't know. A young, bright corner from Utah who's one of the bright spots in their secondary. I think, though, if Justin Fields could continue to just get better and do what he did last week, they'll have a chance to win this football game. I'm not sold on Ron Rivera and the Washington Commanders at all because the one staple for him, as you know, Harry, the reason he got a head coaching job in the first place in the National Football League was his defensive mind. Yep. What's the one thing on the team that's not doing well? The defense. So let's see where Jack Del Rio and company put that defense tonight. But if you're asking me to take a team right now, I'm going to take the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, when I'm looking at this game, and for Justin Fields' sake, can he be better this year? Yes, but I do like the little bit of progress I have seen. When you have deficiencies at the skill position players, you don't have the wide receivers. You're working with Darnell Mooney, who was, I'm not going to sit up here and say, as a slouch, he can play the game of football, but he's not a true number one. But then you're lacking offensive line play, and your team is tied for fourth in the league with sacks with the Cincinnati Bengals. And just to think about how we were talking about Cincinnati, the first two games in protecting the quarterback and Joe Burrow, Justin Fields is an athletic guy. He can run around, utilize his athletic ability to escape the pocket, to escape pressure, but he's still been sacked 18 times. That tells you everything you need to know about the offensive line. Defensively, you mentioned Jalen Johnson, who I thought – since coming into the league 2 or 3 years ago, Key, I thought he's been playing a great brand of football. He's out right now. I don't know if he is going to play tonight, but I like what he presents. Gordon, they drafted another guy out of Washington. I like his game. Roquan Smith is the leader. But you're going against the Washington Commanders, who their head coach called out a guy in Carson Wentz this week. I want to see how Carson Wentz is going to respond. But from a skill position standpoint, I like the Washington Commanders. They have more than what the Bears have. I just don't know how Carson Wentz is going to play. He's been playing decent, but in certain moments of games, like last week, I think it was third and goal, when you got a chance to win that game against the Tennessee Titans, and you throw an interception, that's when Carson Wentz is at his worst.
You know, it's funny because I think I did this earlier in the show too. I somehow crossed my wires, and in my head at some point in this show, I transitioned from Bears Commanders to Bears Vikings because I guess I was hoping for something a little more interesting. However, actually, this is more interesting because the Bears have a chance to win. And if they can pull the 500, then Justin Fields is showing something. First year with a new head coach, new OC, new regime, doesn't have a lot around him, offensive line, receivers, the kind of stuff that a quarterback needs. Doesn't put up great numbers, has not been consistent, but somehow has an effect on a team where they're playing well enough to win some games. And Key, Carson Wentz, on the other hand, does a lot of things well. And he checks a lot of boxes and yet seems to have the opposite effect on a team. It seems to not make the whole more than the sum of its parts. So I really do think Fields has a chance to win the game. Has he turned a corner?
I think Carson Wentz, they look at Carson Wentz like he's lettuce. And they look at Justin Fields like he's a big steak. They like that. A lot of people don't like lettuce, right, Max? They look at it and go, I'll eat it, but it's not gonna get me full.
Yeah.
I know Carson Wentz has some tools. He was the number two pick. He's tall. He's strong. He's got a big arm.
Hey.
All that's cool. But if you're giving the ball to the other team on a consistent basis when things count most, I can't deal with you. I don't need my quarterback giving the ball to the other team.
He needs to grow his hair.
I don't want
Key.
That guy.
Key, he needs to grow his hair. He needs to grow his hair. He's tall. He's got the arm. He's number two pick. If only he had the long hair, then he would really look the part, right? Maybe it would give him a little extra juice. Carson Wentz should try the long hair so Key could get up here and say, he's tall, he stands in the pocket, he's got the long hair. He doesn't. Maybe that's the whole problem.
I think he's a little bit Philadelphia shell shock, so to speak. Mm. What went on in the Eagles is still lingering around him, I believe. I thought going from Indy to Washington would have given him new life. It would have looked different. They would have played defense. They signed Terry McLaurin back for the big deal. They would run the ball. They would do exactly what Ron Revere came on the show and talked about prior to the season. They haven't done that. Where Chicago, as I said at the beginning of the year, if the Bulls, Lord have mercy, if the Bears were going to make any type of noise, it was going to be because of Justin Fields. If they were going to do anything, they win this game tonight, they're 3-3, man. Did you ever think, anybody in their right mind would think that the Bears would be 3-3? No. And anybody telling you, they're a damn lie. Okay? So if they are 3-3, they win tonight, and this young man is continuing to grow, and they can win 7-8 games this year, I'm taking that all the way to the bank. I'm cashing it in. You're showing promise and hope. Now all of a sudden you got money. You got draft picks. You can go into 2023 with a plan to move things forward.
He said Philly shell shock. That's interesting. We could do a whole show on that. Is there such a thing? Yates should chime in as being Philly. By the way, in boxing, there's a Philly shell defense.
Pat, if you see, Pat would Philly be the
shell.
One.
Excuse me, Pat. Pat. But
Pat is the one more aggressive on whatever you talk about Philly.
Trust me, I know.
Look, in boxing, there's something called the Philly shell. That's what Mayweather used, that shell defense. But maybe there's such a thing as Philly shell shocked. It seemed to happen to Ben Simmons. Maybe it happened to Carson Wentz, too. What do you think of that, Philly guys? Yates, Pat?
I think they both are quitters, and they're both dead to me as Philly athletes.
There you go. They have a whole city of people like that. So now you get why they might be shocked. What do you think, Yates?
I mean, look, like if you can't be in the city if you're not built for the city.
That's how it is.
You're not finna come in the city and be soft. Like you gotta be one of the guys. You're not one of the guys. It's cool.
Because I mean, and by the way, I think Philly took care of both guys to tell you the truth. But at a certain point, you keep falling on your face.
I'm a Jalen Hurts fan. I'm not a
Eagles
fan.
He's one of the guys, Key, for sure.
Yeah, I rock with Jalen Hurts. I'm 100%. I rock with Jalen Hurts. I just do. I think he got a woo. He's gonna be all right.
Yeah, we saw the tweet. You've renounced all fandoms of other teams and are now the biggest Eagles supporter. We saw the jersey yesterday. We saw the tweets. So yeah, we get it. Thanks, Key.
Not a chance. But
it's interesting. Maybe
y'all
maybe
boo Santa Claus, man. I can't support that.
Yeah. Never mind.
It was in like 1960.
but anyway, you do have a guy in Carson Wentz who may be Philly shell-shocked. But at any rate, one of the reasons that would be is he kept giving the ball, as Key mentioned, to the other team on third down in the fourth quarter, right? Like, versus a guy in Justin Fields who the team seems to rally around in spite of whatever numbers he's putting up right now. It is, even though probably an ugly game, could have an interesting outcome.
Harry,
I've talked myself into thinking this game is interesting.
Yeah.
Harry, you know they boo Santa Claus in Philly, man?
Man, you can't boo Santa Claus.
Well,
that's what I try to tell Pat and Yates.
Greeny's coming. Yates talking about ain't no such thing as Santa Claus.
Yates say ain't no such thing as Santa.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.